So welcome to the December 2021 meeting of the New Jersey Highlands Council.
Nobody does.
Okay, just before we get started, I'm going to ask our meeting moderator, Herb August, to provide instructions for members of the public and council members about how to participate in the meeting.
Great. Thank you, Chairman Richko. All members of the public will remain on mute throughout the meeting. When it's time for public comment, Chairman Richko will make an announcement. At that time, members of the public wishing to speak should use the raised hand function in Zoom or *9 to raise your hand if you have dialed in. You will be identified by either your name or the last four digits of your phone number, depending on how you're participating. At that time, you will be unmuted. Please watch and or listen for instructions and note that there may be a delay before you are called on and before you are unmuted. Your patience is appreciated. Yeah. When it is your turn to speak, please begin by providing your name and any organization that you are representing. When you are finished speaking, please indicate that you are done. As a reminder, comments are limited to 3 minutes, and members of the public are limited to one comment per resolution and one comment during the general public comment at the end of the meeting. Council members, as a reminder, you have the ability to mute and unmute yourselves without assistance from the staff. But please note, if there's extraneous noise on your line, a staff member may mute you so that it does not interrupt the meeting. Lastly, council members, if you're experiencing a technical problem, please call the executive director at 201-208-4311. That's 201-208-4311.
Thank you, Herb. Annette, please call the roll.
Herb Alstead.
Here.
Tim Daugherty.
It's not working. Shit.
It is working.
Okay. Tim, we can hear you.
We can hear you, Mayor.
Okay. So this is so dysfunctional trying to do this right now.
By the way, I heard nothing, Tim.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. Erase that from that tape. All right, no problem. Thank Michael, you all.
Thank you. Michael Dressler?
Here.
Michael Francis?
Here.
Robert Holtaway?
Here.
Bruce James?
Here.
Carl Richko?
Here.
Michael Sabatich?
Yeah, I'm here.
Dan Van Abs?
Here.
James Vizioli? Richard Vodin?
Here.
Thank you, Annette. Would you also please call the roll of Highlands Council staff and other colleagues that are present?
Yes, Lisa Plevin.
Here.
James Humphreys.
Here.
Gabrielle Gallagher.
Here.
Mary Jude Haddock-Weiler.
Here.
Herb August.
I am here.
Carol Dickton.
Here.
And from the GAU's office, Jeffrey Nielsen.
Here.
And from the DAG's office, Jason Kane.
Here.
Thank you.
And at the Open Public Meetings Act?
Yes, this meeting is being held in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act. The Highlands Council sent written notice of time, date, and method of participation in this meeting to newspapers of circulation throughout the state and posted notice on the Highlands Council website. This meeting is being conducted by means of video and teleconference. Instructions for participating in the meeting and providing comments are available on the Highlands Council website. Participants may provide comments during the meeting or by emailing them to the Highlands Council prior to or following the meeting up to the close of business on Friday, December 10th, 2021.
Thank you, Annette. Please join me in reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. That's always fun. Okay, we move on to the chairman's report. I have two items today. First, happy holidays to everyone. Wishing you and your families a very happy and healthy 2022. Second, before we move on to the executive director's report, I'm going to ask our HDC Bank chair, Councilmember Holtaway, to provide us with a brief report on the HDC Bank meeting that took place last week. The council will be voting on approval of the bank board meeting minutes shortly, and there will be a resolution. And there was a resolution considering a contract related to property valuation in the TDR program that probably merits some comments. So, Bob, I'll turn things over to you now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We did meet, as we know, several years ago, the concept of the municipal average was brought forth. That's in the statute. There was a lot of discussion. It fell within the jurisdiction of the bank board. A subcommittee was formed under the prior chairman, and they worked around trying to figure it out. The actual act is not very specific and is in some ways confusing. So we wrote a RFP to solicit price or quotations for doing a study to resolve the definition, how it would work, to research other states, how they do it, and also to compute the average after we got through it. Some of the things that came up in our discussion, both internally in the committee and with the consultant during the interviews, is that it's going to be tough. It's going to be a tough road to hoe, because no matter what town you look at, there's areas where even though there's the statute says 8 municipal average, there's wide variation, especially in the larger municipalities. And there's a lot of municipalities where this won't even apply. So we have our work cut out for us getting through this. We've broke it down to phases so that we're doing this in steps, step by step, first resolving all the outstanding definition issues and all that kind of stuff, and then going on to actually come up with some kind of a formula to try to establish that municipal average. We'd like to thank the SADC for funding this through with a contribution to the bank, and we will be getting started on this shortly in the new year. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Carl, you're muted. You're muted, Carl.
Yeah, so I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
Thank you, Bob. Do any council members have any questions for the bank board chairman? I don't hear any. So, Lisa, would you like to add to anything from that? I attended the meeting. I thought it was a great presentation, and very happy that this is going through.
Yeah, no, I think the Chairman Holtway covered it well.
Okay, very good. Thanks again, Bob. And we're moving on next to the Executive Director's Report. Lisa?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So all staff has returned to the Highlands office full time as of November 29th, per guidance from the Governor's office. And as noted in my October report, the Highlands Council released a request for proposals to develop a climate hazard vulnerability assessment guidance document. This document would provide a much needed template for Highlands municipalities to use in meeting the new requirements of updated municipal land use law, which focuses on climate change impacts. We have received 6 responses. Staff has completed its review of these responses, and we do expect to submit a recommendation to the council at our January 2022 meeting. In the world of green infrastructure news, I'm really pleased to share this with the public and with the council. Tewksbury Township in Hunterdon County is moving forward with a Highlands Council-funded green infrastructure implementation plan for Old Wick Park and the Old Wick Library. The project will be completed under Tewksbury's existing plan conformance funding allocation for stormwater management. Mm-hmm. This project was one of those recommended in the Rutgers Regional Stormwater Project that was presented to the council back in April, and it is an impervious cover reduction action plan for Tewksbury. This project will further the goals of the RMP, which call for the use of low-impact development techniques to control stormwater, and green infrastructure projects obviously help address those goals. The plan will include necessary design and engineering drawings for the improvements for each site, a proposed construction budget for each site, a review of potential funding sources for construction, timelines for loans and grants, and a strategy for securing funding for construction. Best management practices will be designed for each area. And within Oldwick Park and the library sites, that will capture and remove the maximum amount of impervious area feasible in accordance with the impervious cover reduction action plan. And I think a really exciting part of this is in partnership with the Tewksbury Green Team, the project will also include preparation and distribution of materials to explain the site and the benefits of green infrastructure. And the township anticipates that the actual site work will include not just members of the Green Team, but local volunteers, including students, residents, and other organizations. And once complete, the township will explore constructing informational kiosks at the site that depict the green infrastructure techniques used and how they operate. And this is exactly the type of project that we were hoping that the Rutgers Stormwater Management Project would encourage, and we are hoping that more municipalities will in fact follow suit. Moving on to plan conformance, Washington Borough adopted a planning area petition ordinance on November 9th. For municipally issued exemptions, since my last report, the following exemptions have come in. Hardyston Township, 1 exemption number 5. Lebanon Township, 1 exemption number 2. Ringwood Borough, 1 exemption number 4. Byram Township, 1 exemption number 5. Chester Township, 1 exemption number 2. And lastly, Jefferson Township, 1 exemption number 2. For project review updates, staff has reviewed 2 Highlands Applicability Determination, or HAD, exemption number 11s. The first one, the Butler Water Department in Kenilworth Borough, Morris County, applied to the NJDEP for a HAD number 11 in the preservation area for the completion of upgrades to a public water treatment facility. This matter was discussed with the Plan Conformance Committee on November 30th, and the project was released for a 30-day public comment period on December 3rd. The comment period will end on January 3rd, and we anticipate that the council will consider this project at its January council meeting. Secondly, Aqua New Jersey applied for a HAD 11 on behalf of Aqua New Jersey Summit Lake Project in Hardyston Township, Sussex County. This project will replace 4,500 linear feet of existing water main. Highlands Council staff has determined that this project is consistent with the RMP. Under WQMP reviews, we have an applicant, Lincoln Equities, which is seeking a water quality management plan amendment related to the construction of 3 warehouse buildings totaling almost 844,000 square feet, generating 8,250 gallons per day of wastewater. This project is located in Franklin Township, Warren County, and Highlands Council staff review is currently pending. And lastly, under personnel updates, as the council has probably seen, I'm very, very pleased to share that Kelly Curran has been promoted to the science manager position, which was vacated by Carrie Green. Kelly has been with our agency for over 7 years now and received several promotions during this time. As you know, this senior leadership position is very, very important to fulfilling our mission, and we're excited that Kelly will be in this role and that we were able to promote from within. Interviews are currently being conducted to fill the senior council position vacated by Gabrielle Gallagher in her recent promotion, and we are hopeful that a selection of a candidate will occur soon. And last, the Senior Resource Management Specialist position, which was just vacated by Kelly, was posted this week. So if you know some good qualified candidates, please share it. And last, the next council meeting is scheduled for January 20th of 2022. And that concludes my report.
Congratulations, Kelly, and thank you, Lisa. Do any council members have any questions for our executive director? Okay, I don't hear any or see any. So next on the agenda is approval of the minutes of the October 21st meeting. May I please have a motion and a second on this? Have a motion on the minutes. Okay, moved by Council Member Van Abs, and we need a second.
I'll second it, Carl.
Seconded by Council Member James. Any discussion? Hearing none, please, Annette, please poll.
Council Member Alstead.
Yes.
Council Member Doherty.
Yes.
Council Member Dressler.
Yes.
Council Member Francis.
Yes.
Council Member Holtaway.
Aye.
Council Member James.
Yes.
Council Member Sebetich.
Yes.
Council Member Van Abs.
Yes.
Council Member Vizioli. Council Member Vodin.
Yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes.
Minutes pass.
Okay. As I mentioned earlier, the bank board met last week. So next on the agenda is the approval of the minutes of the December 1st bank board meeting. May I please have a motion and a second on the HDC Bank minutes?
Pleased to make the motion, Mr. Chairman.
Motion by Council Member Holtaway. Need a second?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Council Member Van Abs. Any discussion on the HDC Bank Board meeting minutes? Hearing none. Annette, please poll.
Council Member Alstead.
Yes.
Council Member Doherty.
Yes.
Council Member Dressler.
Yes.
Was that a Council Member Dressler?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, thank you. Council Member Francis.
Yes.
Council Member Holtaway.
Aye.
Council Member James.
I'm going to abstain.
Council Member Sebetich.
Yes.
Council Member Van Abs.
Yes.
Council Member Vodin.
Yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes.
Minutes pass.
Next on the agenda is a presentation regarding the Highlands Region Economic Sustainability Plan. I'll turn things over now to our executive director to lead us in the discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Council members will recall that one of the key recommendations of the 2018 Monitoring Program and Recommendations Report was the development of an economic sustainability plan for the Highlands region. As a result, the council approved this project and the hiring of Camoyne Associates to undertake it in June of 2020. The goal of this plan is to provide a roadmap for a thriving economic future for the Highlands, which is compatible with and supportive of our agency's work to protect the natural and cultural resources of the region. This has been a very collaborative process, guided by economic development professionals from our counties, along with a diverse group of planning, environmental, real estate, business, and tourism professionals, as well as local officials. You'll recall that Camoyne presented a progress report at the July council meeting, and we are very excited to present the final draft of this plan for your approval today. I'd like to thank everyone who gave so generously of their time to provide input into this plan, especially Council Member Holtaway, who served on the steering committee. We will now have a brief presentation on this plan by our own planning manager, Mary Jude Haddock-Weiler, and Alexandra Tramer and Rachel Selsky of Camoyne Associates. Take it away, Mary Jude.
Thank you, Lisa. First of all, I would like to echo Lisa's thanks to the many individuals and organizations who have so generously contributed throughout development of the Economic Sustainability Plan. And I would like to highlight our steering committee members who have been working with the council for well over 2 years. The steering committee began with their kickoff meeting in April of 2019 and have been a great guiding force throughout the process. They helped write the RFP for the plan, They assisted with reviewing proposals and interviewing consultants, and of course have helped steer the contents of the economic sustainability plan. It has been a truly collaborative effort throughout. Now we are poised to move forward to implement. As you know, the draft plan was posted to the Highlands Council website soliciting feedback, and we did receive some good feedback, and modifications to the plan have been made as appropriate. Now I'd like to turn the presentation over to Alex Tranmer and Rachel Selsky to give an overview of the plan and also answer any questions that you may have. Alex, Rachel?
Thanks, Mary. First, I'll just double check that my screen's okay and my sound's okay. We're good. Okay. So hi, everyone. We are happy to be back here and revisiting the next steps and finalizing the economic sustainability plan. Rachel and I also wanted to thank Mary Jude and her team for all of the work that went into this year and a half long process. I think we've come up with a very collaborative plan to move forward with. I do see some of the steering committee members here. Looks like we've got Somerset, Sussex, and Hunterdon County represented. So thanks for joining, and we look forward to hearing any comments or contributions as well. So we did just want to zoom out. I am going to talk about the sustainability plan in terms of a little bit more of how we got here, what it includes, and next steps and things that are actually already underway. But I did just want to zoom out back to when we were here in July, right, almost 6 months ago. Since that time, we've been doing various forms of engagement, research, all of that data collection going into strategy development. So in the data collection phase, right, putting together the themes, concepts, and then vetting, right, what's realistic and what's feasible to come out of this process. And so as part of that, right, we went back to the groups that we had spoken with originally, really started to vet the ideas we had heard, and not just the strategies themselves, but the how and the who, right? Who's going to take responsibility for this? Who's going to partner on this? And how do things get done essentially from here? Like Mary Jude said, we just completed that 30-day comment period. We got some really thoughtful comments back on that, so I'm really happy that we got to go through that process and incorporate those as necessary. So in terms of what the plan includes, I like to highlight this because, right, we've got our action plan matrix. That's essentially our strategy document. That's the guide to getting things done, to implementation over the course of the next several years. In addition to that, though, there's so much data and a wealth of resources that can also be used along the way. So we've got our technical analysis. That could be anything from real estate analysis, socio-demographic trends, economic trends, to really help guide and understand the foundations of the economy in the region. Now, this is data that's pretty much all going to be just up until COVID, so just up until the pandemic. So we really have a strong understanding of that foundation. And then many of the conversations that we would have had over the course of this period help us understand the changes that occurred since that data. So we've got sort of that new data and new understanding of the markets incorporated into the plan as well. Now, part of that is understanding the industries that are well suited to thrive or already thriving in the region. So we identified several of those target industries, the markets that they are best suited to grow in based on the assets in the region. And again, a guide to really taking advantage and leveraging the assets that exist and where those might be best suited to grow in the region. So those are two distinct components in addition to the strategies themselves. So all of that makes up resources for ongoing work for the council, for staff, and for partners as well. So we also wanted to touch base again on just what we heard, right? Because last time we were here, we were sort of right in the mix of that. And there were some big takeaways and themes that we want to point out that drew us to the place that we are today with the strategy and the action plan matrix. Again, this was a very collaborative process. Some of the groups that were engaged in addition to the steering committee were our technical advisory committee, a group of about 30 or so individuals with a vast range of experience that provided really diverse perspective on the strategies themselves. Digital engagement, business surveys, direct business outreach. And I also got to do some youth collaboration towards the end of the summer, where we worked with regional high schools and students themselves drew up a survey based on the information that we had given them to submit to their peers and ask them to really picture the type of environment that they want to live in. So the type of housing, the type of jobs, the recreation, all of those things, right, that go into the communities that we want to live, work, and play in. And the responses to that were really illuminating and went directly into this plan. So I'm glad we got to do that as part of our engagement process as well. Just a couple things to point out. I won't go through all of the bullets, but I'll highlight a couple and then I'll have Rachel just point out a couple as well. One of the things that stood out the most to me was really the theme of evaluating and communicating the value of non-traditional economic assets. So in other words, right, the green space and the lakes, the recreational trails, all of those things have great public health and environmental value, but perhaps are not seen always as economic assets or as having economic impact on the region. And so thinking about sort of combining that environmental aspect with the economic impact and really translating that into visuals, the communication of that is so important because that has implications for funding, right, where resources go. So really thinking about, again, those assets that already exist in the region, maybe just reframing how those are seen in terms of economic contributions. The other thing to think about too, I think that really came out in a lot of our conversations, that a job is not just a job, right? It is connected to so many other parts of the community. We're not just talking about employment centers. We're talking about community centers, really, how a job is connected to housing or transportation or recreation, good schools, all of those things that go into places we all want to, again, live, work, and play. And so the thought of, again, not just developing jobs on an island unto themselves, but thinking about really that connection to those other elements was certainly something that was a value that went into this strategy.
Yeah.
Rachel, anything else to add here?
Yeah, I would just build on that, on what Alex was just saying. And the one thing that I definitely heard through the interviews and the focus groups that I participated in was really how diverse the Highlands region is from one county and community to another, and really finding opportunities to build on that, on those differences and those strengths throughout the region as a really strong opportunity for shared ideas and shared solutions. And the other thing I heard was really the need to communicate and promote the really good work that the Highlands Council is doing, both in communicating the connection between economic health and environmental health and how those are connected, as well as the various resources that the Highlands Council it has and is able to share with the municipalities to help them align their work with the environmental goals of the council. So I really enjoyed all the conversations and the interviews, and they were very helpful in preparing the final plan.
Thanks, Rachel. Okay, so this, in terms of what the plan is going to achieve, right, this is sort of the nuts and bolts of it. So we've got our five collective goals here, really our five goal statements, if you will help achieve the final vision. And so just to rewind back to July again, and the initial input that we got from stakeholders, right, when we asked how success is going to be defined at the end of this, the answer that came to the top was a diversified economy, an increase in total number of jobs, and then a maintained and enhanced water quality. Those are the top three. So these are the collective goals that are going to help us get to that vision over the next decade. Now, the term sustainability, obviously included in the plan name, can mean different things in different contexts. And so we thought it was important to just define this up front, right, what we mean by sustainability in this plan. And to boil it down, right, sustainability means business longevity. So we're certainly including in that the environmental impacts of businesses, right? So the environmental considerations in terms of, you know, how that contributes to sustainability, but also in terms of, does a business have the ability to hire locally? Do their employees, are they able to live locally? Can they invest in technology to grow their business so that they remain, have a certain longevity in their industry and sector, whatever that is? All of these things that go into ultimately a sustainable, vibrant economy. So I'm just going to go through these five goal areas pretty high level. I know you've all got access to that document that has much more detail about the goals and strategies, but we did just want to go through some of the basis and rationale behind these goals. So up first, reinforcing the Highlands region as a center of natural resource protection, innovation, and technology. So we really know that sustainable business practices are no longer a nice to have quality. They're an imperative to prolong and expand economic opportunity. And so as values shift in the field of economic development to be more inclusive of environmental considerations, the council is really in a unique position to, as a planning agency, to show that natural resource protection is a large part of creating a vibrant economy, that these things are not mutually exclusive goals. And so right at the moment, there's a lot of momentum behind some of these concepts, a lot of funding going into certain places. And so this is a great opportunity to leverage the expertise, the knowledge that already exists in this region, among this group, to really, again, not to contribute to the business side of sustainability in addition to the environmental side. So goal area two covers communicating the value of quality of life in the Highlands region and evaluating how current assets meet, miss, or exceed market demand. So this is where we get into some of those elements that, again, are included in the sort of more expansive definition of economic development, whether that's housing or recreation or different job opportunities, the opportunity to work from home, whatever that might be to that individual. All of these things go into making great communities. And we did see in the data this trend of sort of that missing cohort of 25-year-olds to 35-year-olds, sort of this prime working age group. And in order to retain some of those students, that new generation that we talked about, retain that group and attract additional workers, right? You've got to have the housing there for them. We've got to have the schools there for them. All of those things that go into attracting that that demographic, in addition to creating great spaces for the current residents and visitors as well. Goal three speaks to expanding awareness and understanding of the New Jersey Highland Council's purpose and impact on the business community. Again, the council already has this mission and reputation for water resource protection, natural resource protection, but again, making that very intentional and strong connection to the business environment as well. We see the municipal liaisons as playing a strong role in this. We've got really a toolbox for them from this plan to be able to work with their local counterparts to really demonstrate how some of the resources and tools available through the council are going to enable their business community to grow and thrive. Goal four speaks to strengthening the role of the council as a leader in regional planning assistance. So this really builds on the previous goal. Again, we know that there really is this robust toolbox at the council in terms of funding resources, technical assistance, GIS, right, all of these things that go into attracting, growing businesses, all of these important land use components. We heard a lot of great stories about how this work could help local communities, but we also heard that out of the 88 municipalities, some just did not know that these things were available to them. And so making sure, again, that those municipal liaisons that work on the ground, the promotion that goes on around the work that the council does is explicitly connected, not just to the environmental work that the council does, but also the impacts and implications on the business community. And then lastly, supporting the Highland region's existing target industries and small businesses in their efforts to thrive and adapt in response to the new economy. So here we really zone in on that, on the business development side of things. We've got these target industries, not to say that other sectors or other businesses won't grow in the region, but these are the industries that really provide the economic base for the region. So when they add jobs, when they grow their output, that allows other industries to grow and flourish. And so we've got right those markets identified where they are best suited to grow geographically in the region, in addition to the markets, the types of products, the types of services that they are best suited to grow in. So that is a very brief overview, very high level of the goal areas. There's lots more to dig into in that plan. And again, that action plan matrix is really going to be the nuts and bolts of how those things get done. Now, the question has come up about this is a regional plan, right? It has a regional viewpoint. How can local communities use this? And we've really already, along the way, we've worked with local communities this entire time, but we've actually seen this in motion, working with municipal EDCs, counties. And so I thought we might just take a minute and point out some of these examples. Mary Jude, I know we've talked about a few of these along the way. Is there a few that you just want to share of recent examples of where or how this plan has either enacted conversations about local economic development or is already underway?
Yes, certainly. Thanks, Alex. So, yeah, some of our counties and municipalities have already been working on projects to advance economic opportunities in the Highlands. For example, Hunterdon County has been working on tourism efforts through first a broad-based tourism study and currently with branding and marketing. Additionally, in another area, Hunterdon is just about to begin a home-based business zoning analysis to help their municipalities implement zoning and regulatory changes that will support and manage local home-based businesses. In Vernon Township in Sussex County, they are in the process of developing a town center with a walking and biking trail to link their businesses and nearby resorts and amenities. In the town of Clinton in Hunterdon County, they're currently working on a sustainable economic development plan, which includes an effort to connect their walking and biking trails, bringing their visitors to their downtown businesses to take advantage of that new population. So going forward, the Highlands intends that the economic sustainability plan will be a tool to provide guidance and support to all 88 municipalities in 7 counties to pursue these kinds of sustainable economic opportunities. Thanks, Alex.
Thanks, Mary Jude. So we see that obviously not every strategy is going to apply to every municipality, right? There's certain scales, certain intensities, certain industries that really thrive in different parts of the region, but we've got these local municipalities really picking up on the direction and the support from this plan to be able to enact some of these local things on the ground. So that brings us to sort of what's next, and in terms of outreach and implementation, it was Mary Jude and I actually got an opportunity to present the draft plan at the Northwest New Jersey Rivers Conference. Their theme was sustainability and economic development. So that was a great chance to, again, vet this further in the community, right, to a wider audience and talk about these issues of sustainability and economic development and how they're not mutually exclusive and really bringing, marrying, right, those two ideas. The other piece of this is working on a communications plan and sort of a marketing roadshow for the concepts and strategies that are coming out of this. We've talked to some municipalities that are really, anxious actually to see the final version of this and take it to their own EDCs and see where they can go with some of the ideas as they apply to those municipalities. we've already got a prioritized list of the strategies in terms of the immediate next steps, what's next, with an allocated budget. And then we really hope the council and everyone on the call today, right, is going to be an ambassador for sustainable economic development. So, right, whether it's this plan in particular, or just thinking about, you know, the connection between economic development, the work that the Highland Council does, we've really seen, I think, we've really seen these concepts come together over the course of the plan, and we're excited to see where this goes. Like Mary Jude said, there's really things that are already underway. We've got some of the, you know, the counties on the call now, who are ready to get going and keep this work active. So I'm going to stop there. I'm going to turn it back over to Lisa. We're happy to answer any questions about the plan, the process, and where we go from here.
Lisa, you're
sorry, I'm muted. Yes. And I am in turn going to turn the meeting back over to our chairman.
Okay, yes. First of all, thank you, Ms. Trainmar, Ms. Selsky, Mary Jude, Council Member Haltaway, and all the volunteers that worked on this plan. I know that Council Member Haltaway has put a lot of time and effort into this, and I think that he wanted to say a few things on this plan. So Council Member Haltaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have, over the years, given out grants to various municipalities for economic development studies, and I always was concerned about these things being little islands and them not having a broad base regional look and or spending a lot of their time and effort trying to determine what's going on in their region and what's comparing that to what they can do within their municipality. And this provides a macro view of the region. It provides lots of opportunities for municipalities and their consultants to have a leg up on trying to get these things going. And hopefully in the long run, I hope it reduces the costs of these grants to the municipalities because of the wealth of information that is will be provided through this and the ongoing process involved with this. I'd like to thank Camoin Associates. They've done, in my opinion, done a very good job. Alex has been an excellent taskmaster in getting everybody on the shtick and moving along. And it was a pleasure working with all of you. And Mary Jude, great job. Thank you very much. And I think this plan, if it doesn't sit on a shelf, which I pray it doesn't, should provide a lot of benefit as long as we actively stay on it and remember the goals that we've established and continue to work toward them. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Bob. Do any council members have questions for the team or any comments?
I have a comment, Chairman.
Yes, and who is this? Is this
it's Mayor Daugherty.
Oh, Council Member Daugherty.
I just want to put on record that obviously I've got a lot of experience dealing with these type of plans and implementation, as we have done several master plans and reiterations of them in environmental movements and sustainability, et cetera, et cetera. I just want to commend this group on what they've put forward. It's very good, and I appreciate it, and look forward to working with this group to implement it.
Thank you, Council Member Daugherty. Any other council members?
If I may, Chairman.
Council Member Olstead.
Yes, I just wanted to compliment the staff and the team for putting this together as well. I've been on the council since its inception. And one of the things that I think that we've always sought to champion is that we are charged with not only water protection, but also planning. And I think that the economic sustainability and development of this region is a critical component of the master plan and is emphasized by the legislature in the act. And we were charged, among other things, to develop smart growth components in the master plan and to identify opportunities for appropriate development, redevelopment, and economic growth, which I'm reading right from the Act. And I'm very pleased with what's been identified. And I think our challenge now, once we approve this plan, is to charge the staff to continue to work diligently to further develop these opportunities. So again, great job, everybody. And I hope that this will be supported by all my fellow council members.
Thank you, Council Member Olstead. Any other council members like to comment or have a question? Okay, hearing none, we're going to move on to the resolution itself. Can I please get a motion and a second on this resolution to approve the release of the Economic Sustainability Plan for the Highlands Region? Who would like to make that motion?
I will move it, Carl.
Moved by Council Member James.
I'll second it, Mike Sevetich.
Council Member Sevetich seconds it. Is there any further comments from the council? Before we do vote, this is a voting matter with public comment. And before I ask Herb to provide instructions for commenting, I'd just like to remind members of the public that right now we are accepting comments on the resolution to release the Economic Sustainability Plan for the Highlands Region. All other matters should be held for later in the meeting. Herb, please instruct the public on commenting on this resolution.
Thank you, Chairman Richko. Members of the public wishing to speak should use the raised hand option in Zoom or press *9 on your phone. You'll be identified by your name or the last four digits of your phone number. Please follow the instructions and remember that there may be a delay before you're called on and before you're unmuted. Please begin by providing your name and any organization you are representing and indicate when you are finished with your comment. As a reminder, comments are limited to 3 minutes. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to recognize Ken Dolsky. Ken, you had your hand up first. I'm going to ask you to make your comment at this time.
Thank you very much. So I have a couple of comments on the Highlands Economic Sustainability Plan. My name is Ken Dolsky. I'm a resident of Parsippany. I'm also a board member of New Jersey Forest Watch. I'm on the New Jersey Highlands Coalition Policy Committee, and I am on the Empowering New Jersey Steering Committee. I reviewed the Economic Sustainability Plan and noted the emphasis on natural resource protection. In fact, this exact phrase appears 7 times in the document and is part of the first goal in the plan. Based on my observations, the council does not adhere to this goal. First, it has made no effort to stop the very dangerous and destructive process of logging, which has been taking place on public land for years in the Highlands under the guise of habitat restoration and biodiversity. About 100 acres of Sparta Mountain Wildlife Management Area has been logged, and this has also taken place in Berkshire Valley and Walden Brook Wildlife Management Areas. Water supply management lands, such as the forests around Morris Lake, Wanakila, and Monksville Reservoirs, the Newark Red Watershed, and Butler Reservoir, are probably being logged, but we don't know any details. We do know, however, that the conservation lands surrounding Merrill Creek are regularly logged by Audubon. Roving Rock Park in Washington Township was also logged. Although it was under control of the local community, Highlands Council made no effort to discourage this. In some of these WMAs, the Forest Stewardship Plans have identified over 1,000 acres for possible logging. Time does not permit a full analysis of the arguments for or against logging, but basically the claims that it is needed to protect specific species or thinning to protect wildfire are false, and the real reason is simply that there is now money to be made as these forests mature. And speaking of money, there's over $30 billion in the Build Back Better bill for logging subsidies nationwide. Private logging interests have already stated their intent to use it to increase logging on New Jersey public land. Logging not only destroys our ability to sequester carbon, it destroys habitat and forest integrity, but also harms the soils and wildlife through the use of heavy machinery. It is not natural resource protection, just the opposite. And by the way, forestry is not exempt under Highlands regulations and rules. I also observed that the council provided Tennessee Gas Pipeline with Exemption 11 from Highlands rules and regulations when TGP requested this in order to expand one of its gas compressor stations in Wantage and build a new one in West Milford. Gas compressor stations directly pollute the air with dangerous emissions and also pollute nearby water bodies through air deposition. They harm people and wildlife. In the case of the TGP East 300 project, this expansion is not even needed. TGP is building it to provide gas to customers in New York, while New York is actually trying to work its way off natural gas. Yet, according to the DEP letter approving this exemption, quote, the department received positive comments from the Highlands Council on this matter. And this is in the preservation area. Evidently, this council treated this exemption as business as usual and allowed its staff to decide on the exemption without even a vote from the council members. Again, this is not an example of natural resource protection.
Okay.
I admire your focus on natural resource protection in your economic plan.
Excuse me, Ken.
I'm finishing.
Okay, I just want to let you know it's 3 minutes and your 3 minutes are up. I just wanted to ask you to conclude. So you have concluded?
Okay. I have one sentence. I admire your focus on natural resource protection and your economic plan. Now you just have to do it. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Ken, for your comments. And we move on. Who else is on the queue for this resolution?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. With the last four digits, 1079, I'm going to ask you to unmute yourself. Please listen to the instructions on the
That might be phone. Mr. Klump, I think.
One second, Mr. Chairman. 1079, you can now make your comment.
My name is David Shope, and I received the package that you are talking about in the mail. I want to thank you for mailing it to me. Unfortunately, my staff is on vacation, so I have not really had a chance to thoroughly review it, but I do have some questions. Has the issue of the inability to borrow on devalued land been taken into account for this environmental economics study? I've raised this issue in the past. I've borrowed twice from First Pioneer Farm Credit, now called Pioneer East, where they assessed the development potential of my land as part of my loan application. Has it been addressed? Has the U.S. Department of Agriculture survey done every 5 years as to agricultural viability been incorporated in any way in this report and cited in this report? I'm asking these questions now because I didn't hear mentioned, and I will certainly be looking into this report when my staff is back with these issues in mind. And that concludes my comments on this matter. I'm without these considerations being part of this report, I would not recommend going forward with this report until it's addressed. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Shope, for your comments. And who is next, Herb?
Next is Mr. Kibler.
Okay, I see Bill Kibler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I applaud the staff and the folks on the committee who helped you with this report. Obviously, a lot of work went into it. I think I raised this issue back in July, but I confess my memory doesn't go back that far. When I think of addressing sustainability, I think, and I believe the industry standard is to think in terms of what's referred to as the triple bottom line. That is economic sustainability, which clearly has been addressed in the report, environmental sustainability, and social sustainability. People, profits, and the planet, if you will. So I heard a lot of discussion in the presentation with regards to economic sustainability in the Highlands, which I think is a very important thing to be addressed at the regional level. I didn't hear a great deal of discussion about environmental sustainability or social sustainability with regards to the economic development of the region. So I guess I just put that out there, and if someone could address that, that would be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill, for your comments. And let's move on to the next. I think it's Mark.
Yes, good evening. I'm Mark Salek, Economic Development Director for Hunterdon County, also a member of the steering committee for the Economic Sustainability Study. The process that led to this report for Des Moines has been really a terrific region-wide collaboration. I was happy to be a part of it. Hunterdon County was happy to be a part of it. I do think the end result is a very reasonable and appropriate plan for the Highlands region. Hunterdon County really does welcome the idea of the region being able to work together on economic development through the Highlands, as described by this report. And this will have more of a long-term impact on the region than would just each of the individual players following exclusively their own individual plan. So I think this umbrella effort is, and the collaboration is a very good thing. And for Hunterdon itself, I can say this plan, Jude indicated earlier, also supports and enhances what we already do from an economic development perspective, as well as what we endeavor to do. So there's really a lot in this that can be accomplished, as well as it being work that really lays the base for future work. And I'd like to close by saying that I sincerely believe the Highlands can implement its mission and play a key role in contributing to the economy of the region, especially through well-planned partnerships such as this. And so I do commend the Highlands board and staff and for everybody's work on this effort to this point. Thank you.
Mark, thank you for your comments. And Herb, I think that Walter Lane is next. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, so Walter Lane.
Good evening, and thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Walt Lane. I'm the director of the Office of Planning, Policy, and Economic Development for Somerset County. So I would also like to thank the council for allowing me to serve on the steering committee. I think this has been a great collaborative planning effort. And you know, the Somerset County Planning Board feels that the plan is articulates very well the economic and sustainability goals of the Highlands, and feels that a lot of our planning work here at the county nests very well into that. And there's lots of opportunities for future collaboration, and is consistent with the work the county has undertaken with our county investment framework, where we outline where investment should occur and where preservation should occur. And we just welcome the opportunity to work with the council in the future as this plan is implemented, and look forward to that collaborative effort continuing. And just thank you for the time and the opportunity to be a part of the planning process.
Thank you all for your comments. And I think next is Julia Summers. Is that correct, Herb?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Julia.
Yes, good evening, council members. This is Julia Summers. I'm executive director of the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I want to share a story with you that in Morris County was in the newspapers recently. Leslie Bensley has been the executive director of the Morris County Tourism Bureau for 24 years, and she is retiring. When she was hired, there was, in essence, no tourism bureau. There was a board in the courthouse, and there were brochures available. In 2019, largely thanks to the work that has been done by the Morris County Tourism Bureau, Morris County was able to identify $2.3 billion, with a B for boy, $2.3 billion in tourism dollars for Morris County alone. And that was 6.5 million visitors annually to Morris County, because of the branding work that had been done by the Tourism Bureau and the other work to promote Morris County as a tourism destination. You can't have a tourism destination without a beautiful place that people care about. What Ken Dolsky was talking about logging, is absolutely on the money. People aren't going to come to see places that have been ruined by logging. It is important that the council engage on the issue of forestry in the future and stop ducking it, because you have been ducking it. But Leslie is very emphatic that we have to tell a destination story to be successful. And the region of the Highlands is the destination story. So I think there is a very important role for the council to play here in leading. It's great that Hunterdon County is engaged in doing this work. Morris County has definitely led the way, but the Highlands Council should be leading the way for the region. There are regional things for you to do, play a regional role, in promoting the tourism and making the Highlands a destination for the Northeast. There's a great opportunity that shouldn't be missed. So I really hope that you will move forward with this. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Julia. I think we have the next comments will be coming from phone number 4723. Is that correct, Herb?
That is correct, Mr. Chairman. Please listen to the automated instructions to unmute yourself. 4723, you can now make your public comment.
Yeah, it's Hank Klomp. I'm a farmer in Tewksbury. I've got one question for it. It's a great report, and I appreciate it, receiving it in the mail. It's almost as large as the telephone book I have on my other thing here. But it's great work. It's an awful lot of effort on a lot of people work. But one of the things that bothers me immensely is the compensation for the land that's being used. That has not come forth. It's been, you know, 15 years, we'll say, but for all this land that's being used, people that own it, you know, to start with, should have been compensated to start with. So, great report, but, you know, when you owe somebody money, you ought to pay it up. So whatever the Highlands Council can do, that would be fantastic. So that's my comment on this here report. And again, thanks for sending it to me. I really appreciate that. It's an amazing report. But I think if all these people really got their heads together, they did a fantastic job on this, maybe they could find a way to compensate the landowners. Thanks, Rich. I appreciate that very much. And I'll leave it up to the next person. God bless.
Thank you, Hank. Thank you for your comments. And I think the next would be Elliot Ruga. Is that correct, Herb?
That's correct. Mr. Ruga, you can make your comment at this time.
Thank you. This is Elliot Ruga. I'm the Policy and Communications Director for the New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I think this is a very thorough report. It does have tremendous promise, but I think there's also a lot of promise to refocus the Highlands Council away from conformance. I believe that economic sustainability and economic growth must be in the context of the regional master plan, and I find very little reference to the regional master plan in this document. And I'm very concerned about this authority losing that focus. So that is my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Elliot. Thank you for your comments. And I don't see anyone else. Herb, is there anyone else on the queue for this resolution?
No, I will confirm. I don't see any other members of the public wishing to make a comment at this time.
Okay, so I'm going to close the public comments. Do any of the council members have any further comment or questions before we vote?
Yeah, I do. This is Mike Sevetich. I'm very concerned about the gentleman who first talked about logging up in Sussex County. And for many years, I've been asking Lisa and other people why we, the council, don't have any power to control the logging. I think it's terrible that they say that the logging companies are exempt from regulation. And seems to me it should not be. If we're going to overlook the Highlands areas, we should be able to control and regulate the logging and to stop the logging of the mature trees. End of my comment.
Chairman, it's Mike Dressler.
Mike Dressler, yes.
Mike Sevetich took the words out of my mouth. I mean, I'm sitting here listening to this talk about the logging, and I'm actually surprised that, you know, there's that much logging going on in the area. I think it's something that we should find out what the exemption they have is, how the exemption takes place, and, you know, what we can do with regard to this issue. I mean, you know, if we're supposed to be protecting the watershed in New Jersey up in the Highlands, you know, then either we're doing it or we're not doing it. And, you know, these, I mean, that's a significant exemption. I want to find out more about it from staff.
I'm sorry. Okay. I think that Mike Dressler is finished. Yes, we certainly can have more information, you know, from our staff on the logging. Any other council members have any other further comments or discussions?
Chairman Richko, it's Kurt.
Yes.
Yeah, just for the record, for council members Dressler and Sevetich, the act, the language of the act, the law very specifically exempts forestry activities, and I have the exemption right here. It's one of the fundamental exemptions in the act, and it's number 7, and I quote, an activity conducted in accordance with an approved woodland management plan pursuant to Section 3 of Public Law 1964:48, or the normal harvesting of forest products in accordance with a forest management plan approved by the state forester. And that is the list of the exemptions. So the reason that it's an exempt activity is because the legislature said it's an exempt activity. So that's the basis.
Kurt,
we're getting away from the economic right. sustainability plan.
This is a very important issue. I don't think that, you know, getting away from the plan is, you know, anything. I really want to pursue this. I want to find out more about it. I want to find out, you know, what the logging is up there. You know, it's supposed to be a sustainable plan. Is it a sustainable plan? If it's not a sustainable plan, then it shouldn't be exempt. And it's something I think we should be looking at more closely.
Okay, we certainly will have our executive director will speak to you on this week, this coming week. We have had discussions on this in the past. And as Kurt pointed out, you know, there's certain things we can and we can't do. There's certain things that I, as a member, have always been against. I will give you examples of, an example of things I was, you know, the pipeline project in the past that we approved. There's only so much that we are responsible for. And even though I was against it and voted against it, it still went through because we only have a certain responsibility. We can't just simply say no. We can only look at the act and we can use what's in the act. There are certain things we can do and we can't. And that's, but we can certainly discuss the logging issue much more. And I see Lisa, I can see you on the screen. You might want to add to this.
I do. I just want to reiterate what Member Alstead said, that and just clarify a little bit. Exemption number 7 automatically applies to lands that are under an approved woodland management plan or forest stewardship plan, and therefore the Highlands Act does not apply. And I'm very happy to follow up with individual council members on this issue, but I do also want to remind people that the Highlands Council has the ability to provide plan conformance grants to municipalities to develop forest stewardship plans. So we do have that ability.
Thank you, Lisa.
And James, I don't know if you have anything to add to that discussion or whether I've covered it.
No, I think you covered it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other council members have any other comments or questions on this resolution?
Yes, I do. I'd like to add one thing, Mr. Chairman, Mike Francis. The DEP does have a best management practice for forest management. I'm pretty interested in that. So, you know, you might want to start looking at that first because that's really what controls anything we might call logging or forestry such as that. But to take a look at the best management practice, and maybe that's a good place for people to start to understand what's going on with when they do forest management.
Good idea.
Thank you, Mike. Any other comments? Hearing none?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Dan Van Abs. And Mayor Francis is right on the target. Is if you don't like the practice, go for the standards that control that practice. But I want to flip to a different issue, which is the Highlands has a lot of small towns, boroughs, hamlets, and so on. And one thing that I'm certainly looking forward to in terms of the use of this plan is helping those small towns remain or become, in some cases, viable so that they can survive as places for people to live and live healthy and productive lives. So I'm really looking forward to that because these are, from an historic perspective, these small towns are really important to the quality of the Highlands and the nature of the Highlands and its community value, its social value. So I'm certainly looking forward to that use of this plan over time. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Any other council members? Hearing none, Annette, please poll.
Councilmember Alston.
Yes.
Councilmember Daugherty.
Yes.
Councilmember Dressler.
Yes.
Councilmember Francis.
Yes.
Councilmember Holtaway.
Aye.
Councilmember James.
Yes.
Councilmember Sevetich.
Yes.
Councilmember Van Abs.
Yes.
Councilmember Voden.
Yes.
Chairman Richko.
Yes.
Resolution passes.
Chairman, I have to depart the meeting at this point, and I think most of the stuff is over. So I have to leave, though. I have another commitment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mike, and Happy New Year to you and your family.
And to all of you. Thank you.
Take care. Okay. Do any council members have any old or new business they'd like to discuss?
Mr. Chairman, Richie Voden. I'd like to make a few comments on the the HTC Bank. I didn't make comments under the discussion with the resolution because they were talking about the method for compensation. I'd like to talk about funding under the HTC for compensation. I've heard that applications are not being accepted for HTC credits. I've also heard that the HTC credits are still being allocated, but there's no funding to purchase the credits if a party would be, if an applicant would be interested. And we all know that there's no receiving areas where we could spend the credits if they were allocated and put up. I do have a question, though.
We have some background noise. I don't know where that's coming from. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, continue.
When I looked at it to the statutes, the HDC Bank was established by the Highlands Act and by the State Transfer Development Rights Bank Act. That's in the statutes under agriculture. It's 41C-49. If we take that further into the statute, and in section 52, it states that the board, the HDC board of the State Transfer Bank, shall have the following powers. And paragraph P says that the board shall have the following powers. One is to provide funding to any development transfer bank that may be established by the Highlands Water Protection and Planning Council, pursuant, go through the section, for the purpose of development potential by the Highlands Development Transfer Bank. The way I'm reading this is that if we have no funding, it should be provided through this statute. And my question to the staff and to our other council members, shouldn't we follow up on this to look for any sort of funding that we could provide just compensation to those people who lost value in their lands? So that's under the state, it's the short title, State Transfer Development Rights Bank Act, 41C49. The other members could look that up. Maybe we could discuss it at the next meeting.
Thank you. Okay. Well, anyone else have anything under the old or new business? Okay.
Here I have one more. I have one more item, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Michael Francis.
Yeah, you know, the elephant in the room these days is the PFAS in our water. We need to start paying attention to that. It's going to affect almost every community with municipal water supplies. It's already started. I've been active with the DEP discussing the issue. We need to keep our eye on that because that's going to be coming at us pretty quick. The state has lowered the threshold from 40 parts per trillion to 14 parts per trillion. And so normally all the water companies that have been in compliance with this are now probably going to be out of compliance. So we just need to pay attention to that as that comes down the pike at us.
Mr. Chairman, it's Mike Dressler. Mike, I missed what you said. I'm losing my voice. I missed what metal you said.
Michael Francis, you might want to just reiterate what you just said.
Yeah, I was addressing the issue of PFAS in our water. The state has changed the standards from 40 parts per trillion to 14 parts per trillion. And most municipal water companies are going to start finding themselves not in compliance. And that's going to be a major issue. And, we've had hours and hours of meetings, and the justification of the lowering of the standard is really it's really not clear. The governor was on Channel 12 and said it's not a big deal. To me, it is a big deal. So it's something that we're going to pay attention to. We're about the water, and this is really, really going to be affecting a lot of our people. And I'm not even talking about private wells. So if you're in an area, a municipal area, that you're out of compliance, I can almost guarantee that your private wells are going to be following suit. So we need to keep an eye on that issue so that we can help people if they need help. But it's really a serious water issue.
Where does that chemical come from? Mike, maybe you can answer that.
They claim, well, some manufacturing, like waterproofing for fabric, when they manufacture fabric and do different things. And also fireman foam. So, you know, it's really not clear where it came from. Right now, we have three municipal wells that are out of compliance, and it's not by much. I mean, our level is 15 to 21, and the state is 14, so we're out of compliance. And the DEP has let you know that really quick. But we've just committed $1.5 million to put carbon filters on our municipal wells, and there are municipalities that I've talked to that they don't know what to do. Because they're figuring out they're out of compliance, and we've been measuring this for the past year and a half, 2 years, so we're pretty up on it. But I think it's a serious issue coming at us, and we need to be. And no one is. There's no manufacturing in our area. I mean, we're a pack on. We're by the lake, and by the way, we even have it in the lake, but not at 14. But I sampled it. Had our laboratory sample it just to know as a where we are with the lake, and it is present in the lake. We have no idea where it came from. So I'm talking to DEP. Well, should we make it can I apply for money under the Spill Act? Evidently, there was a release somewhere. We don't know where. We don't know when. Our water has not changed, to my knowledge, in the past 35 years. But now with the standard being lowered, that presents a whole nother problem. So we got to be careful with numbers also, And I don't know. I've been researching the hell out of it. I can't find anybody that got sick of it, but they claim you can because I guess some rat in the cage got sick when they were playing. I read the EPA's report. The EPA recommended level is 70 parts per trillion, and that's based on laboratory. So my point is that it's going to be a serious consideration for us to look at as we worry about our water. This is another issue that we have to pay attention to.
Thanks, Mike. Keep us updated. Any other council members, old or new business? Okay, hearing none. We will now open the meeting for any general public comments. Before I ask Herb to provide instructions, I want to remind the public that we welcome any comments or questions at this time, but we will not engage in dialogue. If you have a specific question, please feel free to pose it and then follow up with staff via telephone or email. Herb, please provide instructions for the public.
Thank you, Chairman Richko. Members of the public wishing to speak should use the raised hand option in Zoom or press star 9 on your phones. You'll be identified by your name or the last four digits of your phone number. Please follow instructions and remember that there may be a delay before you're called on and before you're unmuted. So, Mr. Chairman, the first in line, as you can see, is Mr. Ruga.
Okay, Elliot, you're on.
Thank you, Carl. I just want to follow up on something that Judge Dressler is concerned with and that Kurt spoke about, as well as Executive Director Lisa Plevin. As you know or may not know, Senator Smith is developing legislation to provide guidance for forest stewardship for publicly owned land. We're not talking about private land, but publicly owned land. And we have asked him to clarify, to write legislation that clarifies that Exemption 7 does not apply to public lands. And that makes perfect sense because a woodland management plan, which if you have would make you exempt from the Highlands Act, or a forest stewardship plan, both of those were written specifically for to create criteria that a private landowner could qualify for either farmland assessment or a tax break as an incentive not to develop their land. And why that should apply to public land doesn't make any sense. And most of the exemptions to the Highlands Act are to protect private property rights and to prevent a claim of a regulatory taking, which public lands that the public owns, there are no development rights. They've already been protected from development. So we need higher standards, we need to protect vernal ponds and waterways, not for our public lands, not to exempt activities from them. Why would we? Why would we not hold them to the highest standards possible? So Senator Smith is interested, and we may see some movement on this. I just wanted to provide that clarification.
Thank you, Elliot. I think we have a phone person here, 4723. Is that correct, Herb?
That is correct, 4723. I'm going to ask you to unmute yourself at this time. Four, seven, two, three, you can go ahead and make your public comment.
Yeah. Chairman Rico, I really appreciate your time to let me speak here. But over the years, the tank pump, and I'm a farmer, and back in 2004, legislators promised landowners who had their property values stolen that they would find a way to compensate us for our losses. Now it is 2021. How many council members or were appointed have come and gone since then? Should we have learned by now not to rely on council members or legislators for any compensation that was promised? I can hear the words. No one will be hurt by the Highlands Act. What a joke. I'd like to wish everybody a good, healthy new year. Merry Christmas and whatever. Stay healthy, everybody, and hope to see you in January. Maybe Governor Murphy will open it up so we can be together, but I don't know. So, but bless you all. Stay healthy, and we'll catch up to you one way or the other. God bless. Bye-bye.
Hank, thank you, and Happy New Year to you and your family also. Next, I think, is Julia Summers. Is that correct, Herb?
Yes.
Julia Summers, Executive Director, New Jersey Highlands Coalition. I just want to share a cautionary tale about the best management manual for forest stewardship on public lands. The town of Washington Township in the Highlands recently began a forest management plan. They have since ended that forest management plan in a 400-acre piece of property that they own, that they purchased with Green Acres funding, called Roaring Rock Park. And through Roaring Rock Park, it has habitat for rare and endangered species. It has steep slopes. It has a Category 1 stream with a heritage strain of trout running through the park. And in phase one, which did actually happen and was executed applying that best management plan, the forester completely ignored the those recommendations, which, by the way, are recommendations for private land, not for public land, as Elliot shared earlier. It would actually allow, even for a Category 1 stream, it would allow that forester to get as close as 25 feet from that Category 1 stream. In this case, the forester went right up to the edge of the stream, and in fact, trees fell into the brook. And very soon after the forestry activity took place, there was a major storm, and surprise, surprise, there's a lot of silt now in that stream. Surprise, surprise, it impacts this heritage strain of trout. There is a lot of work has to be done on that best management practice manual. It is, if public, private lands think that that's good enough, that's a shame, but it is absolutely not acceptable for public lands as a forest management best practices manual. So please don't rely on that manual. It has to be changed. Thank you.
Thank you, Julia. Thank you for your comments. And I think our next is a phone 1079. I think that's Mr. Shope. Is that correct?
That's right. That is correct.
Dave Shope, you're on.
Good afternoon. I would just like to mention that I've mentioned the issue of the fact that our development rights have been, if not totally stripped, severely modified on our land, and which has affected, whether we wanted to develop it or not, has affected our ability to borrow on it. I've said this over the years, and over the years it's been ignored. This does not make it any less a fact. But it does make me question your motives, quite frankly, for ignoring facts. Also, I've mentioned over the years and prepared a report for, actually, and submitted a copy to Judge Dressler and Rob Walton, using USDA Census Bureau facts, not my facts, USDA Census Bureau facts, and illustrating the economic viability of farming in the Highlands counties. You've ignored this as well. This does not make it anything other than facts that you have ignored. I have to question your motives for ignoring them. I don't think you like to hear things that do not comport with your narrative. That does not mean that economics, which has been called the dismal science,
And what makes it dismal is because the facts ultimately cannot be ignored. You may have commissioned this economic viability study. If you've ignored these facts, this is just so much fluff. And then when I read about the engagement summary, where you have recruited students from 14 to 18 as to spearhead this effort, I can pretty much predict the effort. That's why we don't let 14-year-olds drive or drink. That concludes my comments. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. And let's see if we have anyone else. I don't think we do. Is that correct, Herb, at this point?
Yes, that is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, we'll just give it a few more seconds. If no one does come on, we'll close the public comments. Okay, I see none, so we will close public comments, and we need a motion to adjourn.
Chairman, Salute. Before we
wait, adjourn, well, wait one second, we have Judge Dressler. Yes.
Chairman, it's Mike Dressler.
Yes, please continue.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
Chairman, I'm pretty sick and tired of sitting at meetings month after month, year after year, listening to Mr. Shope knock down the members of the council, just myself a couple of minutes ago. We don't ignore his facts. We take his facts into consideration. I know myself and Rob Walton both did that. We were on a committee to try and get compensation for the landowners. We put together a plan to do that. We submitted it to the Assembly and the Senate in the state of New Jersey. They have taken no action on that. We as a council have gone as far as we can with the limits of our authority to try and get them compensation. If Dave Shope doesn't believe that myself and every other member of the council wants to get the property owner's compensation, he's sadly mistaken. And Mr. Shope, you should really think things over again because you're sadly wrong. Every member of this council wants to get the members of the public who have been harmed compensation. I've even said that I think it's a taking of the property. So you're sadly wrong. And it doesn't help to come every month and beat up the members of the council who have done nothing but try to help you on this compensation issue.
Judge Dressler, thank you. I'm sorry. Judge Dressler, thank you. Very well said. So we do need a motion to adjourn. Who would like to make that motion?
Moved, Mr. Chairman.
Moved by Councilmember Holthaway. We need a second.
Second, Commissioner Daugherty.
Second by Councilmember Daugherty. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed? The December 9th meeting of the New Jersey Highlands Council is now adjourned. Everyone, please stay safe and enjoy the holidays.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carl.